If the Lord didn't check me in my spirit this week, he wouldn't be God. Excuse me. This is hot. Thank you, Jesus. He did. He checked me. And he used simplicity to teach me. I was studying in, I think it was First Chronicles, I was looking at some stuff, but God said, no. Just like you needed to hear some, bring me down just a little bit. They need to hear the simplicity. These were the first scriptures that we ever read that encouraged us, that helped us make it through whatever we was making it through, that built up our faith and our confidence in God. And then once we start getting all this knowledge and this understanding, and God was giving us this wisdom, and we were praying to see God, we moved away from it. And we start looking to bigger and better things. The only thing that got bigger was struggles. A lot of times the only thing that got better, we ain't gonna even go into that. But you know what bigger and better meant for you. In the 6th chapter, in the 25th verse, Jesus broke it down to simplicity. Sometimes the word of God can be so easy to understand that you can't understand it. He was talking to them and he said, therefore, I say unto you, I know I'm going to hit on things this morning that I didn't hit on, that I didn't teach on Wednesday morning, because God is moving in my spirit in a totally different way than he was Wednesday morning. He said, I say, wherefore, understand this, I say. The word I isn't just talking about him per se, but it's talking about the Father that is in him. For he's talking about the great I am. So if you translated in the original writings, it would say, therefore, the I am say unto you.
Yes, yes.
It's not just me that's talking to you, but it's my Father, which is in heaven, that's talking to you. He said, take no thought for your life. We have become so careful and so full of care and so over anxious about our lifestyles that we're no longer any earthly good. We have become careful about everything. And the Word of God tells us to be careful for naught. Take no thought. Be careful or full of care over what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, for ye shall, or what ye shall put on. What he's telling us is, if you therefore understand who the I am is, who your God is, what your God represents, what he stands for, then you'll come to the understanding that you don't have to be careful or be over anxious or worried about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. Because I'm hearing the Lord, I'm hearing the word say, for I shall meet all of your according to my riches. I'll meet your need. But you've got to recognize who the I am is. And we get so spiritually supernatural, we forget about who the I am is. Amen. He said, nor for your body. Reason he says, nor yet for your body, because that's what's concerning us. It's this stuff. See, Jesus was always talking in parables, but not this time. But because they were in the flesh, they couldn't understand what he was saying concerning the flesh. Most folks, you try to tell them about things that are natural, they don't understand because they're too spiritual. And then when you try to tell them about the supernatural, they don't understand because they're too natural. Jesus was saying, "You hypocrites." Amen. Yeah, glory to God.
Amen.
It is not the life, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? See, what's important here is the life that he's talking about. Is not the life more important? Is not the I am more important? Y'all just don't hear me this morning. Is not the I am more or exceedingly or worth more than meat and the body than raiment? And then God goes, then he starts using bodies of things that don't have a clue. But God takes care of them. He'll use you. He'll use your house. He'll use your car. Whatever he's got to use, they're taken care of. What you throw out your window that you don't think is important is important. He said, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not." They don't have the ability to plant nothing to feed themselves. But they're always full. Use the example of the pigeon. Wednesday morning. How many in here can actually say you saw a skinny pigeon? When have you ever seen a skinny pigeon? They are always very plump. And they look very healthy. And they don't care nothing about you. They don't care about your house, your car, or nothing else that you own. Because there's a mentality in them, even though their brain is the size of a mustard seed, that reminds them that there's an I am. So what's wrong with us? Nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? You know what that reminds me of? Remember with 2000K or whatever that was? Y2K? They should have put an F on the front of that. Foolish 2K. Folks was stacking up, went out buying sheds, putting the water in. I ain't talking about world, I'm talking about saints. Shouters. I don't want to shout too much, team. I don't want to hurt nothing. Tongue talkers. Now, if you was one of them, I'm sorry. Prepare for the end of the time. What happened to the I am? He said, "Aren't you much better than they? You didn't see pigeons hide, fool. You don't see sparrows hide nothing. Animals don't hide. You don't remember bears used to hibernate? They eat all year long now." Remember how during the winter started getting cold, you couldn't see a squirrel nowhere? It could be 20 below zero and you'll see a squirrel sitting in the tree going, "Where are they getting it from?" Because God knew things was about to change. He knew the seasons were about to change. So he made provisions for the changing of the seasons. So now the squirrels that no longer sleep during the winter have food to eat during the winter. Even if they have to chew holes in your garbage cans. So, where did they get that mentality from? They were, and they're not dumb about it. They're going to chew a hole in the back part of your garbage can so you don't know that they're getting in your garbage can. Where are they getting it from? Because if God can provide for them, why can't he provide for us? This is what God was telling me this week. When I'm running, oh, woe is me, you know, feeling sorry for myself. You know what? Look what God, God mimics me. If I go, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? He goes, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? But Mickey, I holler, Father, you said you was going to do this. And he go, son, you said you was going to do this. He said, what you worried about? He says, let me break it down on your terms. It is what it is. He said, can you glean up on that a little bit? So he says, behold the fathers, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Your heavenly Father, the I Am, that we done forgot about, feedeth the fowl of the air and every other unforgottenly thing that runs around here biting on us. I should have talked about, I should have named this scripture, this message, Bugs and Animals. Look at the mosquito. Can't stand mosquitoes. But they love us. If they could thank God, they thank God every day. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. You see, look, for instance. Remember when the weather started changing, the mosquitoes died, you didn't see no more? Now in midwinter, you can go like that in your car, and you done got hit by a mosquito. And then you thinking about how cold it is outside, and you're trying to figure out, how is this rascal still alive? Because you know it's been freezing in your car all night. You had to heat it up in the morning, but he's still alive. Because if God can make provisions, what is the provision? You. You are the provision. Say, well, they carry West Nile, whatever that stuff is. Guess where they got it from? Us. They didn't get it from God. They got it from us. I'm going to hurry up. I promise. Are you not better than they? He asking you a question because half of us done forgot the answer. Half of us have forgotten that we are better than the things that we live around. I was talking to one of the brothers. Ooh. They talk about some of the craziest stuff. You know, they were talking about how a lot of the older people on fixed incomes are eating dog food and cat food. And that's sad because it shouldn't be so. So somebody says, Rev, I bet if you didn't have no food, you'd eat dog food and cat food too. I say, not in this life. Well, why not? That's all you got. Don't have no dog, so I'm not going to have no dog food. I'm allergic to cats, which I love, so I'm not going to have no cat food. And I come to the conclusion, if God can't sustain me, then I'm not going to eat it. They make dog food for dogs and cat food for cats. Paul tell you all the time, he said, I fasted when I didn't want to fast. The word of God tells you in the book of Romans, he said, there was times I was on forced fast. Because I wasn't just going to eat anything. I'm not going to eat the husk like the prodigal child did. Because I understand that the word of God says, as long as I seek, y'all awful quiet. I must be messing with somebody in here. God was messing with me. I'm sorry. He said, which of you by taking thought or reminding yourself or pretending to yourself or reasoning within your thought pattern can prolong one cubit to your life? We look at the word stature, we think it means height, but he's not talking about height. He's talking about your life. Amen.
Amen.
And then he says, anyway, why take thought? Or why, he says, why worry about it? Why worry about something you can't change? And we spend 80% of our lives worrying about stuff that we absolutely cannot change. Instead of calling upon the I Am and waiting on Him to supply our needs according to His riches and glory. What's His riches? Us. Amen. Oh, I'm almost done. Bear with me. Bear with me. And why take thought? Why be doubtful? Amen. Now, I've been there. I was there this week. You can have doubt and not know you got doubt. Because you'll reason within yourself that it's all right. And it's not all right. Because as long as you reason within yourself that it's all right, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to seek God.
That's right.
You're going to lose your praise. You're going to lose your worship.
Yes.
Because you're going to keep convincing yourself
it's
all right.
Amen.
Jesus is trying to inform them of something. But of course, they weren't listening. Just like he's trying to inform us of something today, and in most cases, we're not listening. And why take thought or reason within yourself for raiment, for the way you adorn yourself, your spiritual being? Consider carefully the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. He says, consider carefully or learn from them. Learn. How many ever seen the lilies in the field? They blow. They get rained upon. Tornado comes. Rips them all up. 2 weeks later, they're growing again. What is he saying? When you get yourself in the storms of this life, and the complications that come to try to destroy you. You got to learn from the lilies of the field. You got to replant yourself. The only way you can replant yourself is by having faith in the I am and the God that's in you. He said, the lilies consist of the field, how they grow and they toil not. You can't let nothing stop you from growing in God.
Amen.
I don't care about your storms. They can't let them stop you. Your trials, you can't let them stop you. Your hurts and your anxieties, you can't let them stop you from growing in your God. Because the moment you stop growing in God, you've actually lost your vision. And if you lose your vision, you're going to perish. They toil not, neither do they spin. Or get bent out of shape. Because the wind is blowing too hard. Or get upset because of the way somebody treat them. Baby, I've been hot. And it ain't affecting nobody but me. Make my blood pressure go up. When my blood pressure go up, my hands swell up. My knees swell up. My feet swell up. So why let my blood pressure go up? Consider the lilies who toil not, neither do they spin. Stop letting stuff shake you up and spin you out of shape. Remember, the word of God says, those things that are shaken and can be shaken, they shall be removed. I'm not trying to miss out on what God has for me. Give you about another 5 minutes. Well, maybe. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, you notice he keeps using the word field. There's something about the word field that he wants you to understand. Because the field represents the world that you live in. The ground that you walk on. The earth that you exist in. So you have to understand, he says, God, the grass of the field, which to this day and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you?
Right.
How much more important is the grass than you? Now, we'll treat our grass like it's more important than us. Because we'll get out there on our knees and dig up dandelions and know it's going to take us 20 minutes to get up. You will get out there and fertilize your grass knowing that you about to have a sinus attack. But you're going to do it anyway. So if your God was as important to you as your grass, then you can have more than just a little faith. He said, not much more clothe you. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He wasn't saying that they didn't have faith per se, but what he was saying, in the midst of all of this, you have allowed fear, care, and doubt, and reasoning to parallel itself with your faith. We talked about Peter jumping out on the water. You can't say he didn't have no faith. He jumped right on out there. Jesus said, come to me. Maybe he jumped. He was out there. And then you have to ask yourself this question. How did he get out there? Did he scale the ladder to get out there? Which it doesn't tell us. Or did he walk a plank to get out there? Or did he jump to get out there? I ask myself them questions because I'm curious about it. He had to get to the water. If you've ever been on one of them big ships, them old ships, you know that it's at least 20 feet to the water. His faith didn't start when he hit the water. His faith started to get to the water. And then he was walking on the water. He had plenty of faith because he was walking on it. But he began to reason. And the moment he started reasoning, he started to doubt. And the moment he started to have doubt, then he had fear. He wasn't afraid or doubtful or reason within himself because of the storm. It was because he got to a place on the water where he couldn't see Jesus. You got to stay focused. You got to keep your eye on the prize. But you know what the good thing about it is? In the midst of all that foolishness we go through, Jesus is going to reach down and pull us back up. If you do some careful research about that, you'll find out that the only thing that actually started sinking into the water was his feet. His head never went up under the water because Jesus was right there, Johnny on the spot, to grab him by the hand. And he said, oh, ye of little faith. But what he was saying was, why would you reason within yourself after you done got off that boat, got down on here on this water, and probably walked a good 50 feet to get this close to me? Why would you reason then? Why would you reason within yourself after God done brought you this far, done delivered you, done kept you, done healed you, done delivered you? Why would you allow any kind of reason to get in and disalign itself or align itself with your faith in God? I'm preaching to me too. That's why I'm glad Brother Andy recorded it so I can hear it over and over and over and over. I'm really closing out now. Therefore, take no thought. Stop reasoning. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or whitherwhere shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. I like the word Gentiles there. Because what it does is it brings the beginning of Genesis into the book of Matthew. Because now he's saying the Gentile that you were predestinated and preordained to become conformed to the sons of God. And why is that? Because Jesus was saying the I Am will never leave his son.
Amen. Amen.
Now he's going to let you go through a few things because there's some place he wants to get you to. And if you always got everything you need, you're going to become really stale. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Yep, that's what we think about. What we're going to eat. Some of y'all already started trying to figure out what restaurant y'all going to when you leave here. Some of y'all wondering if the man going to be outside cooking when you walk out. Some of y'all sitting there going, man, I sure don't feel like eating what grandma that cooked. But them are the things that try to clog and steal our focus from what God wants from us. Amen. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, because he's done searched the intents of your heart. Don't you get mad at me, but I'm finna tell you. Stop praying for finances. You know what I stopped doing for me? I stopped praying for me for healing. Because God already knows what I need. The only thing I need to do is do something so he can inhabit and create the blessing in my life. And the only thing God's going to inhabit in your life is your praise. He's not going to get into your whining. He's not going to get into your complaining. He's not going to get into you feeling sorry for yourself or bellyaching about this. He's only going to enter into your praise. Then he says, we kind of got hung up on this word, but. But. After you done did all that dumb stuff, but. The word buts mean it's time to change. Stop seeking those things or running after them things that's not going to prosper you in God. But seek ye first. The word seek means to desire and to worship. Ain't that something? But desire and worship. Because if you come to a place in your life where you desire and worship, then folks is giving you hell on your job. They just there. Yeah. Yeah. The family members is driving you crazy. Let them be crazy. But seek ye first, but desire and worship the kingdom of God. You know who the kingdom of God is. John was the first one to say it. For behold, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Who was near him? Jesus. For if you desire and worship Jesus, someplace in the Old Testament says, if your desire is right, he'll give you. Why? Because he has already searched the intents of your heart and he knows what you have need of. And you know what's so scary about the whole thing? A lot of times we don't have a clue. They might as well call us Opie. Because we are clueless. Half the stuff we want, we don't need. And the stuff we need, we don't want. Hell, glory. If you desire and worship the kingdom of God or Jesus and his righteousness, not the Son's righteousness, but the Father's righteousness. How do you get the Father's righteousness? By walking and standing on his statutes, his commandments, his concepts, and his precepts, regardless of the storms of life that you are entered into. You got to make the choice. I can't make it for you. You know what? We still living in, we are applying ourselves to the Old Testament to a place where we feel like this. If I could just get to the man of God, come on. I can live. Come on. You better go to Jesus. So you might run to me and I'd be wanting to beat somebody up that day. A lot of good that's going to do you. Because God created me full of flaws. It's just so happened that there are greater times in my life where I can resist myself and bring myself under subjection to the power of God so God can have his way in my life. What did he say was going to happen? All these things. I like the word things because it just doesn't mean bottles of water. I'm glad I didn't take top off of it today. Things represent spiritual, physical, and financial blessings that you need in your life. It says he will add them to you. He didn't say you're going to bring it in, but he said he was going to add it to you. You know what? I think I'd rather God add something to me, because anything he adds to me, he going to make sure I keep it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He going to make sure you keep it. Because I'm going to use me for example. He going to say, I just gave this young man, I just blessed this man, and I'm not going to let his foolishness run this blessing away. He said he will be added unto you. So take no thought for the tomorrow. So stop worrying. For these things shall take thought for the things of itself. It will take self. It will take care of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. As long as you abide in the things that your mind tries to reason within you, you will allow the depravity and the evilness, or the thought that says that you cannot have what you say or what God has already promised you, it will overtake you in your life.
Yes.
And you will be constantly looking for a bottle of water, and it'll be sitting in front of you. God is sufficient.
Yes.
And the man of God said, for God is sufficient for all my needs. All my needs. Because he realized, you know what? I call Paul crazy. I call him crazy because he had the audacity to 120% believe God. Shipwrecked. out there shipwrecked in the middle of the ocean. Everybody screaming and hollering. Where's he at? In the bottom of the boat, sleep. Who else you know that was in the bottom of the boat sleep when the storm was raging? Jesus. He took the word of God for face value and applied it to his life. So when they said, we're all about to die, what did he tell them? Well, you possibly cannot die because I'm on this boat. And I'm not going to die. So what he was saying was, if you have the patience and the confidence to believe in the same God that I believe in, you'll live just like I'm going to live. So when the boat crack up and it starts sinking, wake me up. Paul, why are you going to Rome? I'm going to Rome to die. Yeah, he crazy. Ooh, I'm going there. I'm closing. I'm done. So stop reasoning. That's what I have to do. I have to stop reasoning. It says it shall be given unto you, which means it is Hebrewism for it is sure to and will certainly happen for you. But you've got to do what? You've got to seek first the kingdom of God and all that his Father represents, so that you can say, when you see me, you see my Father. And when you see my Father, you see me. And they're going to say, well, I don't see your natural father. And you're going to say, well, glory to God. Amen. Everyone stand. Who are you going to seek? Oh, man. Did y'all forget?